Yeah, recording there, recording here. My original audio is on.
Ah,
let's do it.
Dan's looking jacked
good
up.
Good for you.
Someone you idolize takes you under their wing from day one.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Lime. Duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again,
baby.
Hello. Whoa.
Woo. Gabba wee.
Gabba wee.
This girl, what am I at? Oh, hey, welcome to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast. I jumped the gun there. The podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, the funniest podcaster in the motherfucking universe. If you turn off my podcast, I'll fucking kill you. A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof Haraja, coming at you like Cleopatra, like I already said, gabba gabba wee.
Gabba gabba wee, gabba gabba.
Yo, there's a storm brewing, babies. There is a storm brewing, and that storm is the Cow Podcast presents DZ and Friends, Summer Slamtacular, August 21st. In motherfucking Vegas, after SummerSlam, right after SummerSlam, at the Space. Tickets are available right now. From what I've heard, I think we're about half sold out already, from what I've been told. So get your fucking tickets now, because what do we got, a couple weeks? We're like 3 weeks out from the show. So get your tickets now. You can see the links at COW Podcast, the links at Dolph Ziggler's link, at his socials, at Heel Ziggler, on my social, at Dan Black Attack, and also just look, Google the Space and DZ and Friends Summer Slamtacular. You'll find it. We know how to get tickets, right? Do we need, like, tiny URLs anymore? I don't think so, folks. Yeah, so check, that's what we're plugging. Plus patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes, get more content, support this podcast. We are grassroots. You know all this shit. We got a lot to cover today. Many would argue too much to cover today. And first thing, yo, he's here, man. The nasty one, Nasty Newman in the house. What's up, bro?
How about it, Dan?
Yo, how about it is good, man. How about it is what I want
to
say.
Good. How about it to
just,
you?
We just have you today, so that's good, because I got to jump. I actually, like, man, I'm fired up right now.
Let's jump
I
right
want to
in.
Jump right into Hero a couple. Hotel, oh, my India, God. Romeo, Oscar, couch.
I'm sorry. There is just one more thing. You've got two people on the show today, Dan, and actually, one of them is the Cow Heavyweight Champion. Yours truly, sponsored by truly, Jason Shabiro. How you guys doing? Welcome me back to the show, actually. Cut my music.
All right. Yeah, welcome, Shebs. Welcome back to the show, the Cow
Thanks,
Champion.
Friend.
Hey, as you know, we're talking about this show in 3 weeks in Vegas, right after SummerSlam, the DZ and Friends SummerSlam Tacular. Tickets on sale now. Shebs is actually the main event of this event.
Right.
He's hosting the mainland coronation celebration, sponsored by Truly.
It's the mainland coronation celebration of yours truly, sponsored by Truly, brand hard seltzer, and it's gonna be awesome. I mean, Vegas is a party town. Truly is a party drink. It's the drink of the summer, and I'm required to say that, but I also believe it with my whole heart. So it's gonna be a great time. Honestly, you know, it's not even about me. The whole show is going to be great. DZ and Friends is a great comedy show. If you've ever gone to one of those Ziggler shows, like on those big wrestling pay-per-view weekends, super fun. A lot of great comedians. A lot of great stories from wrestlers come, and that's super fun. And then, hey, Dan, by the way, for people who love Cow and love, like, what we do as far as the wrestling element of it is concerned, you have a big match coming up. It's you versus Nick Tullo for the number one contendership.
That's the co-main, or what are
you
calling
it? That's the co-main. That's one below main. I am, in fact, so you guys are going to duke it out for, I guess, a shot at the title one day, TBD. And then after that, main event, Mainland Coronation Celebration, which should be really fun. I'm glad you guys are going to be at the ceremony. I know that's what kind of moved the needle on these ticket sales. I've got so much fun stuff planned for the coronation, by the way. Have you ever been to a coronation? Like in England?
Me? Or no, I've never
yeah, like
been,
when
actually.
When Prince no. George was born or whatever that, you know, the other little royals, they have little coronations for them.
Right.
I'm getting one. And mine's going to be in Vegas.
Now, a coronation, what does a coronation entail? I mean, like.
So it's sort of like it's sort of like a coming out party. It's sort of a how do you do? It's like a little debutante ball situation where you walk down the steps holding your daddy's hand. It's to like meet and greet the universe, say, hey, I'm here, and it's awesome. For me, I mean, as you know, I won this title, this prestigious title, during the pandemic, so I didn't get to. I was like Drew McIntyre. Like when he beat Brock Lesnar, there was no crowd, there was no roar. So I just thought it'd be nice for me to kind of have that fan pop that I deserve. And then for the fans, I know there's a lot of Jabroniacs in the Jabroniacs. A lot of people want to come out and just see me in person with that belt, like see my title reign so they could say, hey, I was there. Hey, I saw Shebs with that belt because no one was there at the matches. I mean, obviously at Calmania 3, we had a crowd of, you know, local brothers and sisters. We got the Hawaiian people were here in attendance and they loved it. And they've embraced me and they love that match. And it's still known as one of the top five sporting events of all time on Oahu in the history. It's fantastic. But what I'm saying is that, like, the mainland.
What are the other four? What are the other?
Well, Pearl Harbor, obviously, had a big, like, boxing tournament there, like, right before, you know, things went south.
Oh, my God.
I mean, without a doubt, right? And then also, as you know, there's a Polynesian Cultural Center here. And they do luau's, and they sort of do, like, you know, just teach people about the original culture and the habits of land, and they have a pretty robust sporting history here too. You can catch a lot of good games and funs and events and stuff over there. Look, it's not about that. What it's about is the mainland coronation celebration. We're gonna have it all, man. We're gonna have cornhole. We're gonna have darts. We're gonna have pin the tail on the donkey for the kids because people want to bring them. People said, hey, a lot of the Jabroniacs have kids. Like, hey, can I bring my kids to Vegas? I said, sure. We've got some of the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race World Tour live at the Flamingo are going to be at the coronation celebration, celebrating me. It's really just be like an all-star event. I've got, you know, that I rented out the Pope Mobile because I don't want to go through Vegas. First of all, it's Corona. Delta variant is still happening. So there's going to be masks. I'm not ready to. I don't like to come back to the mainland. You know that. But I'm doing
it
for the
Pope,
people.
Is the Pope Mobile
COVID-proof? I'm out to just flex it up.
So the Pope Mobile is COVID proof, but the Pope actually has never been to Las Vegas. That's, but they have.
He can't enter. It's Sin City. It's the opposite of the Vatican.
Well, but the problem is not that he can't do it.
He's coming. What about he needs to bless this mess?
No, he can do whatever he wants. He's the goddamn Argentine Pope, and he's the best Pope of all time. He can do whatever he wants. The problem is the Vegas Board of Tourism was like, please don't come here because we're Sin City. If you come, you absolve all the sin, and then we're just a city. Then we got nothing to offer the people. So they kind of have an agreement, a handshake agreement. However, there is a Pope Mobile here. And it's never been used because he's never been here. So I'm getting a pristine virgin Pope Mobile, which is kind of a funny play on words there.
Yeah.
I got a virgin Pope Mobile that I'm going to be just fucking my ass into. And I'm going to be the first guy to ever ride this thing. So, guys, if you like celebrations, if you like ceremonies, if you like pageantry, if you love wrestling, like I said, it's going to be me, the Pope Mobile, a bunch of drag queens, a bunch of Truly Brand Hard Seltzer, games for all the kids. There's going to be a raffle. There's going to be a roller coaster. We're building a roller coaster.
I found Pin a Sweatband on John Cena on Amazon.
We're going to play that during the coronation?
Yeah, we're going to.
Instead
of
pin a towel on the donkey, maybe we get
Pin the Sweatband on John Cena.
Now,
actually, I
accidentally put it on Daniel Bryan or The Rock. Is that what the show is?
Actually, I said pin the towel on the
donkey. That would be really funny.
What is actually going to be? It's actually pin the streamer on Macho Man. It's you get a bunch of streamers and you pin them on Macho Man. And guess what? That motherfucker was covered in streamers, so you really can't lose. Everybody wins at the mainland coronation celebration.
Shabiro, are you worried about drawing heat from Shawn Michaels? It sounds like you're sort of tractor pulls and all this bullshit at your coronation. It seems like maybe you're going to start stepping on some toes. You know what I mean?
Look, you know what? Everyone knows that Shawn Michaels is not one of my guys. I respect him as one of the all-time greats, but he's just not one of my guys. And oh, God, is he here? Is he coming? Was he fucking Beetlejuice?
I know I'm sexy. Oh, that's right. I'm back, Jason Sabiro, your worst fucking nightmare.
No, you're not. You're not my worst nightmare, Sean. I mean,
I'm your worst fucking. No, look, we were getting along just fine. We were amicable. But now you've gone across the line. You're stepping into my arena. You're trying to set up a, like some sort of parking lot celebration, some crowning of you and your achievements. Yeah. And you're gonna have the audacity to not book my company.
What's
to
your
provide?
Company?
I provide attractions for parking lot based celebrations. You know this.
What's that company called again? What's the LLC?
It's HBK LLC. Not hard to remember.
I should have remembered that. You know what? You know what it was, Sean. The thing is, you're just not one of my guys traditionally. And
I thought
I'd go with more local, like local Vegas people.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you got to understand, man. I'm a pro wrestler. I'm a carny through and through. I'm gonna break your legs for stepping on. That's what this conversation is. Yeah, no, I'm not having like a businessman. I stopped in here to let you know. If I see you in Vegas, you're going down.
Well, I got news. You probably won't see me because that fucking eye of yours is creeping hard left these days. By the way, I'm going to be in a Pope Mobile, so I'm really not too worried about you.
You know where my eye's looking?
Where?
Where I'm about to kick your ass.
To the left?
To the left. Oh, my
God. Those super kicks. He's been missing super kicks.
And by the way,
people are not talking about
him. He's been missing super kicks. He's like 3 feet left of the target.
The trick is you got to aim for the one in the middle.
He's been whiffing super kicks lately.
You got to aim for the one in the middle. That's the truth.
He's Sean's contract. He can only feud with stables. So
you got to understand, you got to understand what I see is like kind of like a hall of mirrors. All right, it's like a fly, like how a fly sees.
Right.
So you just got to kind of look. It's hard, man.
Right.
Look,
no, I feel for you, man. I do.
I gotta go. I just want to let you know if I see you in Vegas, it's on, brother.
It's on site. Okay, well, that's good to know.
Hey, I don't appreciate that on site.
Oh, that's a pun. Sorry. Can I just say one thing though, Sean? I perhaps I'm so hard on you because I fear I see my future in you. You were the sexy boy. And I myself am losing some of my hair, and I'm losing some of my prowess, and I feel like I'm just sort of an aging fuckboy myself. So I just maybe I'm hard on you because I'm afraid of becoming you.
Oh, Jason Silvertongue Shabiro trying to get out of his ass whooping. I'm seeing you in Vegas, brother.
All right, I didn't even know he'd be in Vegas. This is fucking crazy. But all right, well, I guess thanks for popping in.
Okay, well, Sean, thanks for coming by. Here's the deal. All right, so look, not to mention, there's just one thing I want to say about this show coming up. There is the match between me and Tulo for the Noble Contendership, which is going to be, that's going to be quick, but because, Tulo's not even here. He's probably floating down Barton Springs, you know what I mean?
I mean, this guy hasn't shown his face on one episode.
Fucking face down, probably.
By the way, I put this guy in a number one contenders match because I respect the buzz he's got for the pod. I respect what he's been doing. Yeah. He hasn't even shown me the courtesy of showing up one time. Well, he did at the very end of the other episode, but I mean, come on, Tulo. Like, I don't think his head's in the game. I gotta be honest. He's like not on the pod. He's playing dress up a lot, but he's not like, I don't know. I thought he'd be cutting more promos and just making it happen.
Yeah, so anyway, that's gonna be quick, but there's gonna be tons of stand up on the show, and Dolph Ziggler will be performing on the show. We'll have tons of special guests, and I'll be performing on the show. And gonna be a great time. Get your tickets. Now, we gotta move on to talking about wrestling, because holy shit, did something crazy happen this week.
That's right.
Let me out, folks. Here's the deal. Bray Wyatt released by WWE. Now, all right, you know this podcast not like a rumor mill podcast. Like,
I mean, I would argue that we are.
Yeah, we might be now, right?
I would argue that we're a General Mills.
And what would be your argument?
That we eat a lot of Cheerios around here. I'm going to go.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Actually,
you sure you want to go? You don't want to, like, maybe try to go out on top?
Nah,
later?
I'm good. Nah, that's a train wreck.
You guys remember this drop?
I love comic books.
All right, anyway,
Wait, can you just ask me what flavor real quick so I can cleanse the air?
Yeah, what flavor?
Palo Santo.
We're doing Palo Santo.
I thought you were going to say Honey Nut, duh.
No, Palo Santo as well.
We're just cleansing the air after that terrible joke, not befitting of a champion.
Here's the deal.
Bray Wyatt.
So Bray Wyatt release. Now, yes, okay. Do we, everyone is now dealing in the realm of rumor and
innuendo. There's also innuendo, a healthy amount of innuendo, which and is
dirt
a problem.
Cheats. We're all a bit of Donnie Dirt Sheets now, because right now wrestling, the hottest thing happening in wrestling is on the dirt sheets, right? You know, like the best shit in wrestling right now is what is we're expecting to happen in terms of where wrestlers are going, and especially with WWE, like the releases are better than the show, right? Like
right.
In terms of entertainment. And it is interesting because I was talking to someone and I was explaining to them like, oh, you know, they don't like totally get what we're, you know, what I'm into about wrestling or whatever. And then I'm like, I was explaining like what happens outside of wrestling is equally as important, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that is like in prime display right now, like for everything like, so, and we'll talk more about that as we go, but let's just focus on Bray Wyatt. So, like, yeah, what I mean is that, like, I've read what you guys have read. I've looked at it all. We heard that he's having some mental health issues. We had heard that. We've heard that. I read that he asked for more money. I've read it all.
Right.
But ultimately, we don't fucking know. You know? We don't know. But what we do know is that Bray Wyatt is one of the best wrestlers in WWE by far. A former champion, which, by the way, we should just keep pointing out that they keep letting champions go, you know, which is also a really interesting thing to think about in terms of like the title of WWE. And I think it does bring us to a place where we should start analyzing like what is the power of smarkiness like in today's age? Now, what I mean is, and we'll go back to Bray Wyatt. What I mean is, I think there's always this like thought process that, well, WWE, it's for kids. The average viewer really doesn't give a shit about like the lineage of titles and like the respect element that we care so much about, which is like, oh, he's a champ. You can't let that guy go. He's a champion. Like, oh, you can't pin him. That. And that, like, but the general audience is just kind of like, hey, we just want to see Cena and like fun colors and like cool entrances, and focusing on that is better. But they're getting to this place now, and maybe I'm wrong, where the amount of talent they're letting go and how that diminishes the value of the title for me, it's and like how I see a talent standing in the company and you're like, wow, they'll just let them go. I'm getting to this place where it is really affecting my respect and love for the WWE product.
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy?
I mean, if that's the only reason why you're losing respect for the WWE and their
product, I'll be honest,
that's
it matters
crazy.
More to me than like Saudi Arabia shows, because maybe I'm just a piece of shit or whatever.
Got
like,
it.
But I actually would do, like, you know, like I try to be a good person, but what actually like hurts in my guts deeply,
uh-huh,
is like, yo, you can't let that guy go. He was the champ.
Right.
See, I gotta hit you with an au contraire bonjour here.
Yeah, do it.
Not just to play devil's advocate, which is a fantastic.
Obviously, by the way, I hate the Saudi shows. I just want to be clear about that. But yeah, okay.
What matters is that we're losing respect for WWE for all sorts of reasons. Now, Dan, you're saying you're losing respect for WWE because they're letting champions go, and it's like once you're a champion, you should hold on to them to protect the legacy or something.
I just want to be clear. That's not the only thing of it. It's just that I see these talents as really proving themselves in that company. Forget about the title per se.
Right.
And that I've seen that they've done like they've given their like blood, sweat and tears to this company, right, in a way that I have a deep respect for. And then
right,
they just kind of get like
tossed to the wayside.
What I perceive to be tossed to the wayside, although I'm sure WWE would have an argument against it. But
right,
I see the resources that a WWE has, the money they have. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, come on, you know.
Right,
but
so
I don't
you're
really
saying,
know what these paydays these guys are getting in AEW. I don't really know what they look like, you know?
I also think some people are probably taking pay cuts to go to AEW for the creative freedom. But you're saying you just don't like seeing a proven talent get revved up like a deuce and thrown into the night or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You don't like that. What I'm saying is this. I'm hitting you with the other side of this. Is that this is the most exciting time in wrestling in the past 25 years,
right,
precisely because there is another shop in town.
Right.
And as soon as AEW came out and had the TNT deal, I'm like, there's going to be another weekly televised big-time show. This is why the dirt sheets are more exciting than the episodes of Raw, because now there's Malakai Black could show up in AEW just like that if they fuck up the contracting shit. Bray Wyatt could show up. And that there's nothing more exciting than that. I don't care that they let Bray go. I'd rather Bray go and solidify his legacy somewhere else. Just the way Jericho kind of had done. Jericho, Adam, by the way.
Adam Cole's contract ran out, and they didn't realize it, apparently.
Yeah. Right.
And so Adam Cole could just show up.
Malakai Black, by the way, he had a 30-day compete clause. Right. I'm just saying the kind of stuff that goes on at WWE. He had a 30-day compete clause that's the NXT compete, no compete clause.
Right.
And then 90 days is the main roster. They didn't change it when he switched brands.
They messed up.
You're like, what? And then Adam Cole's his contract lapsed. I knew his contract was coming up.
Right.
It's a big company. Look, it's a big, I've worked for a big corporation too. You lose track of things, man. You know, look, everyone's going to work just doing their job. And a lot of people like half-ass their job. Like, who cares about their job? Like, few and far between. But my point is, though, where you view Bray being released as like, yo, that sucks. It's so like fucked up and shitty of WWE. I'm kind of like, yes, but I could look at the funny side where I'm like, yo, this could actually be incredible. Could you imagine what Bray is capable of in an AEW scenario?
Right.
Like what he was able to get WWE creative to let him run with.
Yeah. Right.
And that's like notoriously the most in the box place ever. And he was able to get his shit greenlit there. And it was some of the most truly inventive, revolutionary shit you've seen in wrestling. Do I want to take a sip?
You just said truly. You got to take a sip. Isn't that your contract? If you say truly.
Yeah, I got to go crack
it.
I'll be
breach.
Right, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Sorry. I don't have
any. But I want you to hear this.
I got to go. I'll be right back. I'll be here 2 seconds.
He's in breach.
Let's. I'm going to take it to the next level. And I'm going to repeat this for when Shebs gets back.
Okay. We're going to the next level.
Is Bray Wyatt this reminds me of when I learned about the Planeswalker card in Magic the Gathering. Okay, I've talked about this before, and I hadn't played Magic in a long time. I'm long term player of Magic the Gathering. I love the card game; it's amazing. All right, whatever, irrelevant. But when I was out for a while, not playing. And then someone taught me about, they're like, yo, they introduced this new thing, a Planeswalker card. And it's essentially, it's a card, but it's another player like you. Right? Like you, when you play the game, you're a Planeswalker.
Right.
And then the card is another Planeswalker and he's on your team when you cast it. And I was what a cool mechanic to add to the game. Right?
Right.
And I was like, wow, I got to check that out. I got to get back in. I had a very similar thing happen with Bray Wyatt. I saw a visual of Bray Wyatt.
Right.
You know, at some point, and I clocked it. I was like, yeah, he was holding the lantern.
Fedora Bray.
The Fedora Bray. Lantern, the hat, the Hawaiian shirt. He was on the Aloha shirt. Shebs is here, so I got to show respect.
Thank you.
An Aloha shirt. He was wearing formal wear, an Aloha shirt. And he was in a rocking chair. And I saw that and was like, I got to turn wrestling back on for this guy. Alone. Now, that is so fucking rare.
The other times
that has happened to me in wrestling was the first time I saw John Cena. I saw him on like a Men's Health or something wearing the fucking chain, the lock around his neck. He was huge. He looked like Marky Mark. And I had heard his name a bunch of the buzz. And I was like, what's this guy's team? Like, he made me want to turn it on. The other guy was Batista. I saw him also on Men's
so
Health.
Jacked. So
and
jacked.
I was like, holy shit. So, like, to put – those are two huge stars, Batista and John Cena.
Right.
That's how I view Bray Wyatt. Yeah. He's like – I'm like, he is a guy who I could see – right. It was like that. My fucking natter in college, my college roommate had this. And I was like, who's this guy? Like, he looks like a guy where you're like, all right, I got to turn – I'm like, I got to see what's going on with this guy. He looks like a big deal, you know?
Looks like fucking Jacked Damon.
Right, Jack Damon. And so the same thing happened with Bray. With Bray, I was like, man, this character is fucking cool.
He's got something special.
I was like this. And since I've turned it back on, I've never been disinterested in the guy. How many wrestlers can you say about that? To let Bray Wyatt go, there has to be something. I will give Vince enough credit that he knows, and even the way he's booked him, which has been poor, but he gets huge matches.
Yeah.
I would ultimately say there's something we don't know that has to do with Bray's behavior that pushed him to the brink. That right. I'm not saying I disagree with whatever Bray's behavior, but whatever it was like, this is, WWE was like, that's too far.
Enough's enough, and it's time for a change. But like we both agree, he's truly one of the greatest and most innovative talents we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I said
so
that earlier.
So deeply one of my guys.
I said truly before, so I got to crack it as contract dictates.
What flavor?
This would be a citrus squeeze. It tastes like an orange Tic Tac. It's the best flavor hard seltzer in the entire planet.
Nice.
Mm. All right. I'm a holler.
Goes down smooth. Tastes like every citrus fruit mixed into one little orange Tic Tac in a can of silver goodness.
He's got to do the boilerplate. That's also part of his contract.
Yeah. So, I mean, so Bray, I mean, I'll open it up to you guys about Bray. I just wanted to really point out that, like, I'll add this point, and then I'll hand it over to you guys, which is the only thing I think about is Bray is one of the very rare talents who really, really benefits, not rare, they all benefit, but who benefits in a way more than other people by the production value of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think he will, and I think this could go to his detriment or to his mega positive, okay? That's not how that's supposed to be said.
Yeah.
No.
What I just did there.
Terrible
all,
English.
I'm keeping that. It's to his detriment or to his mega positive.
Sure.
And I'm keeping it that way. And I'm going to say is that him toning it back with the production value might get him to a next level.
Yeah.
Or will be like the worst thing he could do is do a dumbed down version of Fiend, but he's just too smart to fall into that.
Exactly. Right? The difference is, yeah, right. Because the difference is like either only an idiot would try to do like not recognize that there is a difference between WWE and another company and be like, well, they're not going to obviously be able to do all that stuff. So I'm going to, you know, shave away some of the excess and see what's really there. Only a moron wouldn't do that. And he's clearly not a moron. So like, yeah, I guarantee you that he's going to wherever he goes, scale it back, you know.
Yeah, I don't even know if we see him anywhere for a while because I don't know what his non-compete is like. Also, you know, we're ostensibly we believe that something's going on with Bray behind the scenes. I mean, if we look at his life, it was always kind of a firecracker, you know. Like he left his wife when she was pregos and stuff like that. Like there's things going on with this guy, and to be that kind of character, I'm sure you know. Right. You know, it's like Heath Ledger's Joker. I mean, you know, it probably takes its toll on you. You know what I mean?
I want him to be well. You know,
I want him to be well if he needs to take time away from wrestling. Look, if fucking Simone Biles can do it, Bray Wyatt can do it, okay? He's my gold medalist.
Yo, let me tell you about the Simone Biles situation.
Please, is that what we need to talk about now? Yeah, I mean, God bless her. She's a hero.
Here's a trick for how to handle the Simone Biles situation.
Yeah.
What you do is you do what I do. Don't know who that is, okay?
Oh,
when you do that trick, when you don't, I've never watched her do anything.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I don't watch the Olympics.
No, I don't
People
either.
Have a lot of opinions on a decision she made, and I just said, what are we upset about? I don't even know what we're talking about.
What's the controversy?
Okay. You don't know
You don't know it either? Okay,
no,
so Simone.
You truly don't?
Okay, well, here's
believe
down
it at
the
that,
hatch.
It's a trap. And also, it's a real obvious, like, it's one of these, like, very clear things where, like, the people are upset, you're like, all right, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
like,
if anyone's upset about it, they're completely.
It's like, it's such a clear like.
What is it?
Here's the she said she was like too exhausted for the Olympics or something. Uh-huh. She was pushed to the brink.
You don't.
She had some mental health issues.
You're such a minor understanding. Look, I know so little.
I know nothing, and I don't.
I'm so happy that I don't care. No, look, Simone Biles
care.
Is the most decorated gymnast. In sure. history. She's like art. She's like a Michael Phelps.
I know who she is.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Try to talk about this situation.
Just to tell you guys. For the listeners, they probably know more than me. Okay. This is me as a guy just telling his friends, just so you know the little that I know. Multi-gold medalist. Please shut that fucking Tulo sound drop off. You know what? I'm not even going to get into it because fuck you guys.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly my goal. I don't want to get into it. I'm sure you guys are all feeling kind of ways.
Decided not to compete anymore in this Olympics for the pressure, the exhaustion.
Oh, who cares? Who cares either way?
Apparently, a lot of white people in America are very upset about it.
Who fucking cares either way?
A lot of white dudes.
Who fucking cares?
A lot of unathletic white guys are very upset that this.
The Olympics
decided not to fucking compete.
The Olympics in general are a fucking sham and a farce. Who fucking cares? Who cares?
Don't even get me started on how Israel's treated in the Olympics or any Olympics. The IOC is the most anti-Semitic fucking sports body of all time. Fuck the Olympics. But we love Simone Biles.
I knew when I said it that I shouldn't bring this up. And I don't even know why I brought it up. But anyway, Bray Wyatt in AEW. So, I mean, okay.
He's not possibly. In AEW. There's no talk of him coming to AEW.
No, there's no talk of being in AEW. But okay. Let's get to the next level.
Okay, let's go to the next level.
The next level, this, he's another guy who's an automatic sign if you're Tony Khan.
Right.
Like
right.
An automatic. It's auto. It's not even. Yeah.
It's the contract's already in.
I'm not just signing you as a talent. I'm signing you for your mind, friend. You know what I mean?
Mm. Right.
Like, as you say to him, you go, I'm signing you for your fucking brain, and we're going to make sure that we execute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you go, let's do it. Now, to WWE's credit, they did a great job with him. They made him the champ. They fucking... they had Goldberg pin him. Remember
can I tell something? They actually didn't do a good job with him. They really didn't. How many times over the years did we say, like, man, now is the time for Brady to become champ, but they just won't do it?
This fucking guy is just flexing.
Dan, you got to stop flexing.
Into the camera. This is psychotic behavior.
Yeah.
I got a match.
This man has rhabdomyolysis.
I'm training again for Shebs already. I'll be honest, I'm looking through too long, to be honest.
Protein poisoning. Yeah. His brain.
He doesn't even show up for the fucking pot.
But Dan,
Newman has a point here. You may be causing
rhabdomyolysis.
You might have rhabdomyolysis.
What does that mean?
You've eaten too much protein, and now your brain is disintegrating. And your muscle is—it's like eating.
What paper do you work for? I'm just looking at you right now. What? Who, are you asking me a question?
Daily Cause.
Actually, Newman, you know what you—you know what kind of reporter you look like? You look like
Vice
a guy.
Acid
no,
reporter.
No, you look like a guy whose beat is covering horse track betting. Like you're like a horse track gambling, like a sports reporter for the sidelines of racetracks.
It's a wild afternoon. Here at the San Antonio Horse Speedway.
The equine
my
speedway.
Left foot, yeah, my left foot broke his left foot.
Tragedy struck today as Papa's mustache had to be put down after a railroad spike to the hind horseshoe. I don't know about horses. Anyway, Dan, what we're talking about with Bray is you said they did a great job with him. I think there was pockets where they did right by him. But for the amount, that guy literally... You're talking about mic skills, unparalleled. He brought a psychology to his promos that, I mean, the legacy of Jake the Snake Roberts, the legacy of Mankind Mick Foley, no one else could do. This guy would get chills from the shit he would say. And he was incredible. And how many times did we say, man, they're really not doing right by Bray. They're not letting Bray go. He's so hot, and now's the time to do it, but they won't do it because he's, like, not for kids. And then a couple times they put the belt on him. The Fiend thing they really let him run with, which was great. But then, Then they did. They worked themselves into a shoot, and what I mean is they sort of painted themselves into a corner. They made him so invulnerable.
Right.
They kind of like didn't do a service to him because then they made like there's nowhere to go with this guy other than have Goldberg come in and hit the reset button. And look, I think that he's a guy that they didn't do right by him, and they never understood what to do with him. But he was so fucking good that they had no choice. But to let him run sometimes and just throw a belt on him sometimes. But they never really let him open up right.
I will say this. In my conversations I have with wrestlers, okay? And I talk to more wrestlers than you guys fucking know, okay?
You talk to more wrestlers than non-wrestlers at this point because you...
Oh, good for you! There is a view... Like, the way wrestlers... Wrestlers see wrestling in such a different way than we see wrestling, but I think we're right. See, that's right?
They're too close to it.
Right. Like, obviously we're not right all the time, right? But I think we're righter than wrestlers want to give Marks credit for. Does that make sense?
Writer and mega positive.
Yeah. Well, it's more to my dismay or to my mega positive. I don't know what it was. I don't remember what I said. But, where it's like, I think wrestlers would see Bray and see him and say something along the lines of, like, yeah, I mean, he got every fucking match he wanted. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they would see it like that. They would see it like he's booked, like, He wrestles on every Mania. You know what I mean? Like, he gets to do, he's, he gets to do like the coolest character. He gets a lot of fucking mic time. You know what I mean? I think that's how wrestlers see it, right? And I get that, because that's like, anytime you're a performer, it's all about like stage time and blah, 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 right? So you think about it in terms of more like that. And wrestlers, us as marks, see it more as like the use of that time and the, and like the booking and writing and whatnot, you know? And we, I do think we care less about, like, I think we care more about, how do I say it? Like, about like wins and losses than just getting, like, than just working and blah, blah, blah. So my point is that Bray, the whole internet is like, he had no, the whole internet's like, we didn't know how to use him creatively, blah, 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 you know? And I think they are right. Like, I guess what I'm saying is that I agree with the Smarks when they say, like, Bray, and you, Shebs, is I think there's sometimes a thing where it's like, oh, the internet, it's the dirt sheets, they just say all this shit, you know? Like, I'm saying, this morning, a guy in my gym came up to me and came at me like, here's why they let Bray go. And no, you know? Here's exactly it. And I'm like, yeah. And then when I walk away from that conversation, I'm like, yo, we don't know shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, we don't know. It's the internet, right? Like, everyone's talking. The marks are talking. But ultimately, my point is that Bray, I do believe I align with the Smarks here, where it's like, this guy could have done A plus plus work, plus 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 work. And what he did was A, while with a anchor on his feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, and that is just true. So you could see it as like, yeah, he got all these awesome opportunities, but he had two feuds with Randy Orton that ultimately sucked. Like, that both had Mania matches that ultimately led to an incoherent finish at Mania. That was like Alexa stealing his gimmick, which is what the big controversy was. Mickie James straight up said, like, WWE didn't know how to handle Bray, so they just stole his gimmick and his creative work and gave it to Alexa, you know? Right. And you're like, is that maybe
That's gimmick infringement, bro.
Right.
That's 5-10 in wrestler's court. I wish JBL was still there.
she wasn't mad at Alexa. She was like, no, respect her. I love Alexa Bliss. It's just like, kind of like, it is, that's a fact. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that, like, sometimes I do think marks are like, oh, WWE's holding them back and blah, blah, blah. Like, the booking's bad. And then I watch it and I'm like, I don't know. Like, they got a lot of opportunity. This is a case where Bray Wyatt somehow, with all his opportunities, got not enough opportunity. And even if you want to argue he did get the right amount of opportunities, he didn't get the right booking and writing to fucking be the star that he needed to be.
Well, and yet he still had these really high highs and great moments. Like the Firefly Inferno match, that's so awesome. That was awesome.
That was so fucking amazing.
And that was that was part of the Randy Orton feud. And that, I think, was a great blow off to that feud where he that was, you know,
they lit him on fire.
Right. They lit him on fire, and it got me. I didn't even realize that. I was like, how the fuck are they doing that? And then, like, it took me like a day to be like, no, they just pre-taped that, so they just cut shots, and it was like a wax dummy or something. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Because I was so invested in the match in the moment when I was like, oh, they're going to do that wrestling thing where they dump the gasoline on him, but, like, somebody stops it or something. And then they just did the burn. I'm like, whoa! Great match. Yo, look,
Ray did great point. Shit. I think my point, I just want to, because my point was a little scattered, and I'm finding it.
Yeah, it was like, very scattered.
I understand that. No, yeah. That's okay. And that's what, it's a podcast, so eat a dick salad. It's free. But what I was saying is that...
I invented that expression.
Is that... there's wrestlers like Bobby Roode who just got no shot. Right. Like, he got no. He came up hot as hell from NXT, and then Vince was just like, thanks, but no thanks. Right? Like, I'm going to keep here. Right? Thanks, but no thanks. You get no shot. And that plight should not be mixed in with what happened to, like, a Bray. These are two different ways to get buried in the same place. Right. You know what I mean?
It's a different level of bury. Bobby Roode getting buried before he could even get started. And Bray was able to build a fucking massive empire with airtime and character work and great bookings. But he got buried but they didn't make him
the top guy. Well, because if they were to actually do that, what it would require is for Bray to, like, Raw or whatever show he's on would have to be about Bray. Like, he would have to be so pervasive throughout the whole thing to give him enough room to fully execute whatever he was trying to do, you know, and they're never going to do that.
Which I think is a great point, because honestly, what Bray's limitation was really just that company.
Maybe it's
that
the genre.
Right, it's just not right for him. Like, WWE is not the place for Bray to do the 100% full-blown Bray Wyatt experience. Right. And he got pretty damn close, but there was definitely a ceiling because it was the wrong place for him. Which is why that's why I'm not bummed that he got cut necessarily. Like, I don't see it as like WWE like not doing right by one of their great talents. I view it as, thank God we live in a time right now in wrestling where there's two mega viable places for this guy to go and create incredible work.
Can you imagine him in Japan for
some reason? Exactly.
For some reason he goes
I'm thinking
to Japan.
Japan more than AEW. Oh. I think he's going to go there first.
The Fiend or whatever version of the Fiend that he does next or something.
God.
And by the way, I'm going to give Bray Wyatt so much credit here. I think he's done with the Fiend. I think he comes in. And I think he should probably go back to some version of Fedora Bray. Uh-huh. And that's what I would do is him. And then we know he could get dark. We know it. But the Fedora Bray character is not fucking – it's not done, baby. I'm not finished with you yet. You know what I mean?
That's classic Bray. That's classic Bray.
And that character in Japan as the IWGP heavyweight champion, you know what I mean? Come on the microphone.
Right. Well, that's the thing. The thing about Bray Wyatt
– and he should be with Bo Dallas. We should get those two
I
together.
Would love Bo. I love Bo. I believe. But the thing about Bray – is that he's one of the few guys, and I'm not talking about necessarily just only NJP. I know we're talking about NJPW. I don't want to go back to AW and ruin that momentum. But he's one of the only guys that could come from New York, from the other shop, and come into AEW and beat Kenny for the belt, and people would be okay with it. They'd be behind it. They'd be excited for it.
Well, you're bringing up the next big conversation.
Because he's got the cred. He's got the street cred, not necessarily indie cred, but I think even indie fans have to respect the guy's inventiveness and his work ethic and his moveset. Like, the guy can work and the guy's incredible. So this guy's like really exciting times for Bray Wyatt right
now. We have to have the next conversation here, which is I have two combos to have.
All right, what's
so much
next
to say.
What's
I knew this Bray
one?
Thing would be like the whole ep. I just fucking knew it because he's
what's
so,
bigger than Bray? Nothing's bigger than Bray.
So I have something. I have a point to make that's bigger than Bray. Goldberg's 15-year-old son Gage is in better shape than Dominic Mysterio.
I would say this: that kid is turning out to be a stud.
Kid's looking hot to trot. That guy's.
I hope he
good.
Goes into wrestling.
He's
right?
fresh off his bar mitzvah and he's ready.
I'm hoping
to fuck.
That hair starts going out. You know what I mean? I need this kid bald.
He's definitely going to wrestle.
Look,
but
Gage,
the thing about
Gage Mazel Tov,
you can see the physique coming
you.
In.
I mean,
but that's the thing. We're being creepy, but
it's good.
New Goldberg, Gage Goldberg,
Gage Goldberg.
Yeah.
But the thing about Goldberg is Gage Goldberg. I mean,
I have more to say about Bray.
I'm just saying, when we saw this kid, he was like a pudgy, prepubescent.
We were in the room,
marshmallow titted sack of shit. And we were like, oh, boy.
It's a child. It's a child.
I know, but but it's Goldberg's kid. You want it to be something. But in your heart of hearts, you know, I remember growing up. I remember seeing, like, puffy nippled, chubby
like
kids.
Yeah, we looked like pieces of shit also.
No, I'm just saying. I remember seeing these, like, puffy kids who, like, but you knew that they were going to be, like their dads were jacked. And you're like, that's just a prepubescent puff. That guy's going to, testosterone is going to fucking mold this guy into a fucking Adonis. And it's just so wonderful to see it happening right now before our eyes. This guy is ready to rumble, baby. I think he could beat up Dominic Mysterio today.
Oh, easily.
So,
Gage Goldberg, Gage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all I got to say about Goldberg. But I want to go back to Bray for a second.
All right, let's go back to Bray.
I want to talk about Bray in AEW. So let's talk about the fact that, like, you know, now AEW is signing a ton of WWE talent, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to push back and say I have no fucking problem with this at all. Like, what – you guys, like, WWE – we have to get over that WCW shit. We got to get over that, you know? That was a mistake that they learned from. It's not the same place. It's not a place that's going – literally, it's run by Kenny and the Bucks and Tony Khan, who literally are guys who rejected WWE.
Right.
Who rejected the way it was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And have a better understanding of the business in that way, especially as them running this huge independent empire is essentially what they're doing, right? They right now run the mothership of independent wrestling, right? And then they send them out to satellite locations. You know what I mean?
I love this metaphor.
Right? It's, you know? And like, and they understand that. So I think that we can fucking relax and let talent be signed and let AEW take advantage of the Performance Center and WWE's development of these guys. You know what I mean? Right. Let them take advantage of it.
For sure.
So
people have a problem with this? I mean, we got to find new things to complain about.
People, you know, people do. They say, like, you know, they're like, oh, they bring it up. But, look, okay.
People who have a problem with WWE talent.
No one ever says, like, oh, how many Pittsburgh fucking Pirates are the, you know, whoever the fuck cares going to sign. Like, no one ever, like.
Right.
It's like, who fucking, like.
No, look, talent is talent.
It's when you have a little bit of knowledge, it gets dangerous, right? So some people who know less about wrestling than me see the parallel of WCW scooping up all these over-the-hill veterans and giving them big contracts, and AEW scooping up WWE released employees and giving them big contracts. That's
what over-the-hill veteran at this time.
That's what I'm saying. That's, well, Christian Cage is probably over the hill.
Matt Hardy?
Matt Hardy is definitely over the hill.
Sting.
You could even say Sting, certainly. You could even...
Sting's on the other side of the hill.
Sting is now climbing up a second little mini mountain. But I could even make it. You could even make an argument that Jericho is quote unquote over the hill. I mean, certainly his pecs are, but he's proven that this guy is limitless.
There's nothing hilly about those pecs.
Those are flat. Those are just valleys, if anything, they're valleys. But I'm just saying that, like, look, I understand the parallel there, but you don't need to worry about it because exactly what you said, Dan. Like, the creative, like, the real problem with WCW is that these guys were also the bookers. That they got, Hogan was a booker. Flair was a booker. Even Dusty was a booker. So
there was
all
also big money in being the champion then. Like, that's also a difference in the industry now. It's not like if you're WCW champion, that means you're getting tons of toys and, like, you know what I mean? That was a whole big thing then.
Right. And while the bookers now currently are the champions, right? A lot of the EVPs, like the Bucks and Kenny, Cody.
The timing's really smart.
Look, these guys, that they know what they're doing, right? They're not Ted Turner, right? These guys are guys who grinded it out at the lowest of the low in the bingo halls and in Japan and stuff. They have a good sense for how to keep this thing indie and fresh. The one thing you need to know, the major fucking difference between these big corporations like Ted Turner's corporation, WCW, and WWE, The only thing, if you know one thing to assuage your concerns, is that all these talents are wrestling on indie shows all the goddamn time. They go to Japan whenever they want. They're in ROH. People are doing exchange programs. They're going to other federations just for, like, whatever. Like, the door is open, right? It's not this,
the
like...
The forbidden door is wide open.
The possibilities, everything is happening. Matt Cardona was just in GCW, like... Things are live, baby. They're always in flux. They're always in motion. We're not locking people into some wasteland. That was the problem. You get locked into a contract, and then they're sitting on you. That's what WWE is doing. AEW does not have that problem. They just don't have it. Doesn't matter who they sign.
I agree. Now, I went to PWG on Friday night or Sunday night.
How was that?
It was amazing. Amazing.
And
show.
Who showed up there? Who got the biggest amazing pop show. Of the night?
I mean, Aleister Black showed up.
Malakai.
At Malakai showed up at the end, confirmed he will be on the, for people living in SoCal, like, he will be on the September 26th show.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Dan, if you come across tickets, just buy an extra one for me under.
No, I'm definitely going to go.
I understand that, but I'm saying, like, if you have the opportunity to buy, just buy a second one for me.
I will.
I'm telling you now.
I will. If you're getting
two, and one's for you and one's for Newman, that's cool. But if you're going two for you and just one for Newman, get two for Newman.
I'll get as many as I'm buying for myself for Newman.
Yeah, I'd like you to... Yeah. And if you're getting four for yourself, you could just get two for Newman. I'm just saying, like, we don't need...
Whatever the limit numbers. Is for max tickets purchased per person, like, allocate one to you and then just slide that whole thing over to me.
Yeah.
Whatever the rest
absolutely.
Of it is.
I'll get you about eight tickets just to be safe.
Okay.
So, okay, so, so what I'm saying is Aleister showed up. Aleister got on the mic. Interesting thing with Aleister I just want to talk about is Aleister Black, who I'm a huge fan of, he really is not a spooky boy. We've talked about this before, Newman. I'm curious where you're at. When he gets on that microphone, he is not even attempting to really be spooky.
He goes straight down to a tough guy alley?
he kind of just he's like, here's what I sound like, but has more of a spooky look. He's looking jacked up, by the way. And just to point out, we're recording this on 8/4. In a couple hours, he's wrestling Cody on
cannot wait.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's sick. He came out, the people went insane. His face was painted. He had the black eye, the one eye. It looked really fucking
cool.
He looks
good.
Really
he looks really cool.
Cool.
He looks really cool.
He looks awesome.
I mean, no, but he is a spooky boy. So, like, you're looking, right. You're still looking at it very surface level. Like, spooky okay. doesn't.
Because, like, I think a fiend is spooky, and I'm saying how those two can coexist easily because they're such different vibes.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, right. So the fiend just happens to be outwardly horrific. And that is spooky, right? But the fiend, like other spooky boys, his primary operating, sort of direction is inward. He is focused on the internal life, the mystical, the fucking, like, spiritual. He's not a biker who is, again, that's just like a way to kind of conceptualize it. He's not a biker boy who is concerned with the outside material world and less concerned with the interior. Right. So Alistair is still under that framework, a spooky boy, although he may not be like Halloween spooky.
So you're saying Alistair is closer to the Undertaker than Bray is?
No, they're both on
internal.
They're both that. Yeah, they're Undertaker. Right. But the thing is, so you bring up an interesting point because there's the Mark Calloway constant, which is the like Mark Calloway. You can exist in both equal measure, biker and spooky at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there are certain wrestlers who have that quality. Bray has it. Alistair has it. Or Malakai has it.
Right.
So what you're sensing is probably that, you know, their capacity in both in them. But he is firmly in the spooky side.
Right. Yeah. Now. Let me ask you a question. Because I don't think Alistair's a tough call. I think he's definitely spooky. Mm-hmm. He walks the walk. He looks the part. And you could tell that what's important to this guy is spookiness. Mm-hmm. Although I feel like when I hear him talk, it's a lot of, you know, aside from the Dreams of My Father book reading report he did before he left WWE, it was a lot of, you know, a lot of tough guy alley. It was mostly about how he was going to kick people's asses.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
at PWG, he was kind of just like, yo, he just kind of booked himself, being like, yo, you want to fight next week? You know what I mean? Like, it was a little bit like
right.
that.
You know? But you could show up and handle some business and still right. be a spooky boy.
All
right. I mean, he's a spooky
boy.
Let me try here. Okay, so there's evil.
Yeah, I'm too stupid for this. Okay,
there's evil, right? And then there's people that summon evil.
Okay.
So Aleister Black is the one who summons the evil.
Ooh, he's a summoner.
So he's like human, you know.
This is giving
there's also this black metal aspect to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Wait,
for
is
me,
that based in any kind of lore?
No, they're just like witches, you know?
Do you know who Icy as Vortex is?
No.
Never mind. Black metal joke. Somebody out there will get it.
Sorry. One guy is going to know.
One guy's like,
let me ask you a question. Damian Priest. Spooky boy?
A biker. Undo
for
biker.
Sure. So when the spooky boy beats you, he steals your soul. When the biker boy beats you, he steals your girl.
I got you. So, but is he co-opting spooky culture?
No.
Is it spooky cultural appropriation?
He's a tweener anyway. He could go spooky if he wants to, but right now he's full biker.
Do you guys want to start a band with me called Spooky Kabuki?
Yeah, yes. As long as we're weird math rock with surf influences, then
I do.
I'm all. Can I tell you something? My favorite genre of music, I think, ever is Witch House. Yeah. And I think if I could just make a Witch House surf rock like genre
witch
mashup,
House
Witch like WIT like bands like Salem, like it's all just like it's like movies. It's like.
That's
music.
This is one of my favorite games to play, is making up music genres and saying I've been listening to them. It's like, I've been vibing on some like deep state and like,
deep state surf core.
Yeah.
That's what I'm listening to.
You know, it's kind of like Horn Vortex.
You make up fake.
Yeah, exactly. Post Horn Vortex psychedelic.
What I've been listening to is a lot of like trap rock Jewgrass.
Oh, Jewgrass.
It's kind of like Jewish guys playing banjo and sort of like a Blink-182 influenced rap.
Yeah, I've been listening to like
Machine Gun Kelly,
Escalator Jazz a lot.
Escalator Jazz. I've been listening to a lot of Fetty Doo-Wop. It's like
that's like Fetty Wap doing doo-wop.
Yeah, it's like Motown. It's like Motown with an auto tune.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've been doing a lot of Dave Matthews.
Yep. Mm. Well, that's the end of this bit.
I wanted to kill the bit so we can move on to the motherfucking. The meme corner. What do you guys say? Should we hit the meme corner?
Let's hit those memes, son.
All right. Meme corner. It's a motherfucking meme corner. Like, I don't know. We're going to look at memes in the meme corner. All right, let's throw up some memes.
Release the memes. Oh, here. This is a good one.
Release the ass crack. Is that funny? No.
That's funny. I think it's funny.
Yo, this is not wrestling at all. But here's the deal. Okay.
We're also a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, well, this is also a Star Wars podcast. Someone sent this to me. It's I forgot who sent this to me. I'm sorry, guys. But it's Obi-Wan talking about it's high ground, and it's a theory, and it's Obi-Wan. We always say I have the high ground, right? It's a strategy here in Cal. Someone says Obi-Wan is the king of low grounds, not high grounds. He defeated both Maul and Grievous by having the low ground. When he told Anakin, "I have the high ground," it was simply to tempt him to jump and get the high ground, therefore giving Obi-Wan the low ground where he could easily take him down. Obi-Wan is the master of, it says trolling, but this should just say the master of the low ground.
Yeah.
I mean, it rings true. This is actually a pretty brilliant theory. I love this. It doesn't happen very often where your whole worldview changes. You just have a whole paradigm shift of perspective. I've just learned something. I was like, dude, this guy is right. And that
usually these days, if you want a paradigm shift, you got to step in the ring with John Moxley.
Right. Gion. Exactly. Gion. Is that spelled like Jeff, like British Jeff, like G-E-O-N-N, Gion?
Next meme.
Okay, next meme. Don't answer my question. I'll just go fuck myself. You going to read the meme, or are you just going to watch the balls?
I don't know if
this copypasta. This is like a true meme.
This is a true meme. It says, I think this couple's breaking up my flight. Seems he's postponing their anniversary trip because he managed to get a ticket to AEW Rampage in Chicago.
So there's many memes with this picture and like a humorous caption. This is a true meme.
Okay. I was like, is this real or not? No. I figured I wanted to bring it up to you guys, but that's
you got
still,
played by the meme.
That's
the
still
meme
really funny. All right, next one. All right, here we go. This I adore. Okay. This is fucking Steve Blackman at SummerSlam. I don't know, 2003. I don't even know what year.
Way before 2003. Yeah.
This is Steve Blackman when Shane jumps off the Titantron and he does the drop. And it says, Shane is about to fall like to his doom. And it says, "Don't fall for her, bro. She's bad news. She's bad news. And then it says, "Me." And it's Shane falling for her.
He tried four times and you still didn't read it right.
I know, sorry. Actually, my cord is blocking the quote. And I didn't want
I'll
to
read
it.
Don't fall for her, bro. She's bad, bad news. Me. And it's just Shane O'Mac getting kendo sticked off the Titantron and falling 40 feet in SummerSlam 2000 is when it was.
Yeah, I thought it was earlier than that. Yeah, that's true.
I could be like stumbling through a swamp and I come across a hut and there's a witch and I offend her and she curses me to be the meme that is closest to my internal life. And I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and this is the meme.
This
is
you?
Staring back at me.
This is you? You're a sucker for those bad news flus?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, next. What a great moment in Shane O'Mac history, though, man. I mean, Shane O'Mac is such a fearless guy.
Yo, this is Edge entering, and it says, and he's like, arms up, full pyro. It says, "I feel like jobs would be way cooler if everyone got entrance music and pyro when they arrived for their shift." Okay?
Fine. It's coming out of your check, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would make that. I would at least once a month. If I had to pay for it, I would do it.
Yeah.
Just pump up.
Yeah. We offer health care for part-time employees. You get dental and vision. Okay. Mm-hmm. You also, as one of the benefits packages we have when you come to work, there will be WWE style pyro and entrance music. So we'll need your Titantron image by this afternoon.
Yeah, if you don't have one, you could work with Gina in HR, and she could give you some stock templates to kind of choose from. But we'd certainly encourage all of our employees to customize their own entrance music and TitanTron, just because it you know, it makes us feel like, you know,
it shows us who you are. We're family here.
Yeah,
right.
And just more lo-fi stuff for casual Fridays. Kind of just walk down,
a couple
ramp.
Sparklers. We'll do some sparklers.
Yeah, Fridays, it's all dark. It's
it's like
private,
a house
stuff.
Show vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's like an ECW bingo situation. Yeah. Let me just say that Edge, at this point, does he have one of the best entrances of all time?
Well, that's the only reason I brought this meme, because it's actually not that funny. This meme, but it is interesting that Edge is the entrance to me, and I always talk about Edge entrances. Like, I'm always like, I can't wait to just see Edge enter.
Yeah.
Edge enter. It is interesting that Edge really, like, worked so hard in every way possible that also his entrance is one of the entrances.
It's one of the greats.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about the greatest entrances ever. Like, who do we got? We say Flair, obviously. And by the way, it was simpler back then to become great. But
Stone Cold is simple, but still up there.
Right. By picking that, Flair got there. Stone Cold, certainly, it's a lot of just the attitude and stuff like that. Goldberg, one of the best entrances ever. Yeah. With the pyro, breathing the smoke. He had a great choreography he would do, showing up. Some guys try to get good choreo, and they don't have it. Like, I see a lot of guys do a lot of elbow movements, and, who has not a great one? Like, Rusev doesn't have a great one. He runs out, and then he kind of like does, like, a jump in the air. Ha!
Yeah, that's a bad one.
It's just not great
Brock
choreo.
Brock has the good version of that one.
Well, The Rock is one of the best.
Brock does the good version of what Rusev's trying to do.
Well, Brock has choreo that works, but it's not one of the great entrances, right?
Well,
it doesn't wow me
a little bit, and then he just goes like that. Right?
He's got choreo, but it's not one of the great entrances. Triple H has got choreo that works; it's just not one of the great entrances, right? But he has a thing, and
Triple H is a little much for me.
It doesn't not work, what I mean?
It 100% works,
but it's not one of the best. The best entrances: Stone Cold, Flair. I maybe this isn't one of the best, but I love classic Orton. Arms up pose with the rainfall streamer, the sparklers behind him. I love that imagery. But Edge, while simple, classic to the point. I think he just does it so well, and it took him years and years and years to get it all in line, and now it's like a perfect science. Like I said, it's not as inventive or as interesting as maybe the Goldberg choreo, but boy, oh boy, does that thing hit.
Hell yeah. Next meme. WWE's come to the terms of the release of Vince McMahon. Yeah, whatever.
Next,
let's go.
Next.
This one sucks.
Honestly, if I hear WWE talking about the release of Vince McMahon, I assume
it sucks.
They mean
I assume they mean
he just dropped a nice load in some developmental talent's fucking asshole.
So next one. I don't know what you just said.
You know what I said.
Well, I just want to talk about Cena and Reigns for a second. So I'll use this meme as a jumping off point. I absolutely hated what they did on SmackDown. It's so fucking stupid and below intelligence. They did a thing where Cena is the one who signed the contract that was meant for Finn, and now Cena's in the match on SmackDown.
Right.
Not how contracts work.
No.
Not how contracts work. So below our intelligence as an audience. Like, you can't just sign somebody's contract and that's yours. I mean, on certain types of contracts, but, like, that's just so fucking stupid.
That's in, like, the Air Bud law book. Nothing saying he can't do it.
Yeah, it's like wrestling's been around so long. Like, this kind of nuance. Like, anyone can sign a contract. Like, this is what they're doing. And do we need that? Like, just Reigns, you obviously want to wrestle Cena. Like, come on. Like, just, you know what I mean? It's good for you. It's a huge profile. It's a guy you've beat already in 2017. You know what I mean? Like, hated this. Now, the one thing I'll say in this meme is that this was John Cena's response to the missionary knock, which I knew Reigns would overuse, and he is overusing it.
Yeah.
I still love Reigns, obviously. If you could find someone who keeps missionary position interesting for 2 decades... for 2 decades, keep them. That's what John Cena said. I think it's a fucking great John Cena line back, where it's like, yo, John's missionary. And he's like, yeah, I'm missionary, but, like, I do this for 20 years and people fucking love it. What's your excuse?
I would argue, as I have before, that if you're with somebody doing missionary position for 20 years, you've kept them.
That's what his line is.
No, but he's saying keep
you already
them.
Kept them.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
20.
It's done. It's 20 years.
Well,
bro.
We don't know. We don't know.
People talk about divorce rate in this country around the world and whatever.
They do. People do talk about
that. What people don't talk about, which I think is a more important fact, because I'm a cynic enough to think that, like, everything ends, right? But like, they should talk about time spent in a marriage, right? Forget how many 50% end. Fuck that. How long? There's
you
difference between
time spent in each other.
It's like a Royal Rumble record.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I'm more impressed with a marriage that lasts 30 years and then they get divorced than with a marriage that lasted 17 years and then somebody died. It's like, oh, they didn't get divorced. Like, who gives a fuck?
I no respect for widows.
No, fuck a widow. I'm just saying, or
that's
double.
A hot take. That's a hot take.
No,
hot
it's not. Take. I'm just saying the time in the thing is the important thing. How long you made it, how long you gave it a go. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next. Yo, this yo, friend of the show.
Great meme.
Brittany Sacco posted this. We'll see her probably in Vegas. I think she lives in Vegas. Nice. But I saw this on her stories and I screenshot it.
That's wonderful.
It's a new bag of eyes at me and it's a
wonderful.
So it's Undertaker choke slamming bad Chris Jericho. Era Jericho. And it's just a nice choke slam. Jericho is the new bag of ice. Undertaker is me. Slamming that new bag of ice. It's the way it's
always been.
Slam
them things, dude. You got slam to. Them bags of
nothing
ice.
Nothing not to like about this, folks.
It's a we couple times,
it,
too.
Right, don't we, folks?
Got a big times. Pop. From all of us.
Next meme. Is that it?
That's it. That was the last one.
Okay, great. We got to talk about two things. I'm going to say one thing we're not going to comment on because it's a waste of time, but CM Punk's allowed to use his music in AEW. That's confirmed. I read that.
I mean, his music being Living Color, Cult of
Right.
Personality.
Which is a song that we not a surprise because WWE doesn't own it, but it's
right. That's fair game, yeah.
Expect to hear when you know what I mean? So that's dope. Ric Flair released by WWE also, which is like I guess huge news, but like I don't know. When it's legend stuff, it's all whatever, right?
No, it's not. You know my take on that, right? I told you my take on this.
What's your take on that? I'm gonna go pee. Give your take.
All right. I already told you my take, so I don't need you. So you go pee. Yeah. But for Newman and Phil and all the jabroniacs at home, my take on that is Ric Flair is the smartest thing he could do because like let me just go to AEW. This way, when my baby girl Charlotte's up for contract negotiation, they toss her another $2 or $3 million. Because she's going to be like, look, my dad's over there. My boyfriend's over there. Like, that's where I want to be. Obviously, I want to be with you guys. WWE's my home. But, like, I'm getting a lot of pressure to go over there because it's just such a – it would just be so much more better to be on the road with my family and stuff. So Flair's going there, I think, as an act of let me turn myself into a living bargaining chip for my daughter to make some more quiche. That's my thought on this.
I mean – yeah, I agree. Where the fuck did Dan go?
He's the dirtiest player in the game, Newman. He knows the rules. He knows how to make some money.
Dan is or Rick
no,
Flair?
No, Dan went to pee. Dan is the most unprofessional player.
Most unprofessional.
Let me tell you something. Just to peel back the curtain for all you listeners of the show. Every time I'm on this show, Dan says, hey, we got to start actually a little early today because I got a thing to do after. So could you be here 15 minutes? Whatever it is, whatever time he says, it's half an hour after that time. He's the reason we're starting late, and he leaves at least once during every podcast to pee. I don't know what kind of bladder this guy's working with. You don't think I got to pee? I'm crushing Trulies. I'm required to crush Trulies. I don't get up to pee. I finish the show like a champion, and that's why I'm the champion.
I knew you guys could handle it, so that's why I didn't pause. And I
can handle anything.
I've
handled things in my life most people wouldn't even dream were possible even face.
Bro, are you going to be ready for me? Or what? We're going to do Mania when I fucking run through Tulo?
Pal, I've not been training at all. I've been crushing Trulies because I'm trying to get that money. I'm not in shape right now. We'll see what happens in this match. I know you're looking past Tulo. He might beat you. I don't know. I'll tell you what. If it's you I have to fight after Tulo, I might have to push it back all the way to Mania. If it's Tulo I got to fight, I could probably do that couple weeks later or something like that. What's the next pay-per-view after SummerSlam? Do we know?
Don't know. Actually,
SummerSlam Backlash?
There's probably something before Survivor Series. You know what I mean?
Summerlash?
The Rock is being reported for Survivor Series, by the way.
Brock?
The Rock.
Well, you know I love to hear it. But yeah. Look, I'm not... good luck in your match, Dan. I'm not really concerned. I don't have a match in the books. I'm just... hanging out, eating poke and fucking Loco Mocos and sipping Truly and just having
whatever.
A good time.
I got to get out of here anyway.
Okay, me too. I live in Hawaii. I got shit.
So I'm going to bring up one last small thing, which is I don't even care about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Too bad.
It's fine. I was going to say Keith Lee beat Karrion Kross.
Did that happen last week?
Yeah, it's like,
I don't know. Karrion Kross beat Keith Lee, and now they have Keith Lee beat Karrion Kross.
Yeah, but so I think I read that they're going for making Scarlett show up, and then Karrion Kross gets like strong once she shows up, and that's why they're kind of burying him. But holy shit, man, he is the NXT champion. You know what I mean? Like, and they are like, if you follow NXT Twitter and like Instagram and WWE, it's like literally it's the first time ever you see like they're talking about like how strong Karrion Kross is, like they're building up his Samoa Joe match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
And they're literally like, who has the stronger Coquina clutch or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, and then you see like Keith Lee defeats Karrion Kross like in the same feed. You know what I mean? And you're like, man, these companies just like don't function together in any capacity right now.
They don't. I mean, sometimes it syncs up nice, but mostly they're just totally independent. But yeah. The other thing, I really think that's more of a symptom of they have never once done anything with Keith Lee right. Like, they never know where this guy – like, sometimes they make him go in shoulder-to-shoulder with Lashley and being just as powerful as Lashley. Sometimes they have him dropping out to fucking Damian Priest. Like, they don't really know where this guy lands, and I think that's mostly a function of him being a fucking lackluster talent. Like, we don't really know what to do with this guy, nor should we. I mean, he's got nothing for me. So what are you going to do? I mean, you get the Karrion Kross in there. It's like they don't know how to play it. Him beats him. Who beats him? We don't know. We don't know what to do with this guy.
We don't know. Anyway, let's get out of here. I got to run.
Fine.
Interesting week. I can't wait to see Bray Wyatt in AEW. I just can't wait to see him, who's one of the rare talents we saw got to go creatively, like, go in WWE.
Yeah.
And then let's see him, like, really go. Because unlike Aleister, I love Aleister and I believe in Aleister. But Bray is... next level when it comes to the
Bray's creative. He's one of the all-time best at what he does, period.
Bray has the opportunity to really fucking turn some fucking heads in this business in a way. And he already has done it. I've already got calls. He's one of the rare talents, I'll just put it in that way, who I've gotten calls being like, who is that monster guy? He did it in two different iterations of himself, you know? Yeah.
For sure.
But
Bray's a classic guy that I think is going to go elsewhere, go to Japan, do something fucking crazy we're all going to be talking about. Maybe even go to AEW and take a chance on something that doesn't work right away and maybe have to find a new footing. But he's going to do something new. He's going to become huge wherever he goes in 5 years, and he will be back in WWE, and they'll have no choice but to take him back and put a rocket up his ass because the guy's too fucking good, and everyone knows it. So I'm excited for it. I could envision a Bray and Malakai duo. Like, that's a fucking duo I could get behind. Jesus, man. They put the guy with fucking Ricochet. They might as well throw him with a real fucking master.
Let's see.
The craft.
There's a lot of posts about the guy who in PWG who's dressed like the Bull, whatever his name is. I forget his name.
The Bull?
Yeah. And they
El Torito?
What's his name?
Well, no,
I've seen him wrestle a bunch of times. He's dressed like literally like he looks like a Mantar, you know.
Don't know.
And he wrestles in PWG. He's literally like a human.
Is he a lucha?
No. But he wrestles. So yeah. He wrestled Bandito. They a lot of people putting them together like in a thing. I forget his fucking name. Anyway, everybody. Two things you got to know before we get out of here. First off, bonus episode, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. They come out Friday morning. We'll talk AEW. We'll be talking about this Aleister match versus Cody tonight, which I'm sure is just the spark of whatever the hell's going to go down with them. It's going to be fun. And then we'll be talking Juventud Guerrero versus Chris Jericho tonight on AEW.
Hoobenstank.
And then we're going to be talking about also get your tickets, DZ and friends. I'm telling you, the tickets are selling faster than Speeding Bullet. Faster than I expected, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? We're like back. You know what I mean? Weird times here. They're selling faster than I expected, given like COVID stuff. So make sure you get them as soon as possible. DZ and friends, SummerSlam Tacular, Lincoln at Heel Ziggler, at COW Podcast, at Dan Black Attack. You know where to get it all. And you'll get to see Sheb's Mainland Coronation Celebration.
God, guys, it's gonna be the party of the summer. No, but for real though, I just to pull back the curtain, as a guy who's enjoyed making content for you guys, and I appreciate you guys listening, and I know Dan and Newman do as well. But this is the first Cow live show back from this crazy year or two we've had. We'd love for you to be there. We'd love to share it with you. We couldn't be more excited to be making live comedy happen again, so that's super fucking fun. Me and Dan are both super jacked right now, which is nice. I'm a champion. He's not. But still, come to the show. It's going to be a great time, a great memory. And honestly, I haven't been to a wrestling show. I'm going to be at SummerSlam, and that's going to be my first show back in a long time. So I'm super pumped about that. It's going to be a great weekend, and we'd love to have you there.
PWG,
so check it out.
So fucking great. The crowd was so hot. Great time.
And PW, that was great your first time. Show back? That was yeah. your first wrestling
oh,
show?
Oh, yeah. That's great awesome. Time. Great time. All right, well, buddy. Hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.